Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Rob Ossolari, and City Steve here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And this week, it was the Forbidden Whore in London, AEW. Boy,
I thought it was a Forbidden Backdoor.
Well, you know, young bucks, a lot of backdoor shenanigans going on there. Here's a rundown of the card. If you didn't see it, you can see some of these matches here, which, yeah. Okay. So, Steve, tell me about Forbidden Snore.
I knew that was coming.
Dude, yeah. So, it never ceases to amaze me, man. Like, I've been all about, you know, non-tribalism, all sorts of bullshit on this show for how many years now? And yeah, it never ceases to amaze me that I'm clearly one of the few that's in that particular mindset. Anyway, where do we want to start? So let's just start with that lights out steel cage match. And realistically speaking, yeah, there was a lot of bloodletting that went down in that match. There was a lot of crazy shit, as per the name of the match, being a lights out steel cage, meaning that it's quote unquote unsanctioned. We all knew that, Will Ospreay was going to be taking some time off, after this show and after this match. Yet, after his team scores the victory, and it was a nice touch, they did give the pinfall to Hiroshi Tanahashi, who is wrestling his last match in the UK as he's retiring at the end of this year. And yeah, you see Will Ospreay getting laid out after the match by the Death Riders. This has become a trope that I'm not a huge fan of. Seemingly anytime that anybody has to take any time away from AEW, they get written off of TV via a beatdown from the Death Riders. So I'm not exactly a huge fan of that, especially when Ospreay went on TV on Wednesday and made it known that he was going to be taking time off. So this was, you know, you easily could have let Ospreay. Yeah. You could have just let Ospreay ride off into the sunset, you know, cause he, according to what we're hearing, he's going to be gone for a year. So Ospreay is going to be gone for about a year's time. They could have just let him, you know, give his goodbye, and that would have been it. Show fades to black. Everybody goes home happy. Instead, they do a neck injury angle, and they pilmanize his neck. Not a huge fan of the way that went off the air. So,
That said, it is hopefully building towards something great in the same way in which back in the day TNA let Aces and Eights go on for way too friggin' long, that you were hoping that, hey, maybe there's going to be some big payoff with how they disband the Death Riders. Maybe, Maybe who the fuck knows, down the road, a William Regal could show up with a whole new team of guys and beat the crap out of them. I'm being facetious.
I was going to say.
I know the look. When he's looking left to right, that means I've said something way out of park. but no, that the idea would be at this juncture to have some mega payoff. It looks like they're going to let this faction drag on for a little too long. But the in-ring fighting was good. There was action. It was well-paced. Again, giving Tanahashi the win, like you said, very important. when they tried to do a WWE fake out because they put the credits on there in the bottom. Yep. And I went, all right, yay. And he went out and he looked at everyone and I'm like,
all the baby faces left the cage.
Right, which was also odd. Why? I'm like, all right, he's still standing there. He's still standing. And they don't know how to raise the cage. And nobody, here was the thing that pissed me off, the bad acting. Nobody knew how to climb into the cage.
Right. Somehow fucking Marina Shafir climbed over the top of the cage and got in. But and none of the other dudes could do it.
All of the guys from the ops went, Samoa Joe, the wrestler Bushi, Kota Bushi, I don't know what to do. And it's an impenetrable fortress. I watched that and I went, that was stupid.
Yeah.
And then when they raise the cage and they get one little chair shot off on Moxley and he just shrugged it off, they ran right out like it was nothing.
Of course.
You can hit rewind. I could probably do one of those things where you have like 10 videos running at the same time and it's the same choreography. It's the same thing, the same chair shot as they run through the crowd stage left. I'm going, I've seen this before. So to that end, it almost kind of it tarnishes what was a good match going up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. And I mean, you know, the match went over 30 minutes. It was like 34 minutes, I believe. But, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. It definitely tarnished it. But it was, it got heat, if nothing else. The people in the audience, they hated Moxley and company for doing that shit. So, I mean, I guess you could look at it as getting heat, but I'm not a fan of it.
Set up the match was funny. Matt Jackson come up to Umbop.
Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Coming out to their PWG theme. Realistically, that was a really cool nod. And if you look earlier in the show, they actually said, we want our old music back. So, I mean, yes, they teed it up. It was funny. And it was mocking the Young Bucks and having a couple of moments of fun.
Yeah, you would call that a memory berry or an Easter egg. And they are very good at what they do. There was something, though, we talk about tag teams. We had a tag team belt change in the silliest of ways. God. This was one of the dumbest changes. You don't want to make the Herb Syndicate look weak. So what do? You get three C-card wrestlers to go out in the cheesiest of, they're wearing a mask. Oh, my God. Who are these people? Oh, wait. There's three guys, and they're hungry. I wonder, it's totally out of Bishop God.
So the worst part about that shit is that's all that anybody remembers from that match is the finish. And realistically, it was a very good match for the vast majority of it. And keep in mind, obviously this hot on the heels of us with the rumors, quote unquote, that Hurt Syndicate don't want to drop the titles. And then, so obviously that happened last week. Almost on the heels of it, it was announced that this three-way would be an elimination-style tag match. So, obviously, the Hurt Syndicate, not even involved in, you know, being eliminated, unless I guess you could say that they left the ringside area, thus they were counted out. They didn't have to job to lose those titles in any way, shape, or form. So, I think that it was bad booking. It was bad execution because the finish was sloppy. Bandido got off of the cover because he knew that he botched it and he wanted to try to do something else. Referee Paul Turner said, no, you're going home, get back on him. So that led to the bad save attempt by Cash Wheeler. So, I mean, realistically, I hope they actually do follow through with pushing Brodito as a good tag team. God knows they need to make new stars, especially on the heels of losing Swerve Strickland, who's going to be gone for several months with a torn meniscus that he's been working through for the last 5 years.
And that brings us to another topic. You had the Young Bucks lose their EVP status to two guys who were going to be gone for a year anyway, with the stipulation that they couldn't wrestle for the main event belt for a year, and they're gone anyway. And if I'm writing this, I want to bring that up. If I'm writing this, I want Nick and Matt Jackson to get on TV and go, wait a minute. We lost our ability to be EVPs. We lost that title to two guys who are now not going to be back for a year anyway. What was the point?
Well, so they're not going to go that far, because obviously that's going to kind of expose it. But I mean, there are ways that they could make snarky little comments about it, for sure. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's unfortunate, because I think that, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, no matter what. So it's really easy to second guess everything. And quite frankly, this is one of those instances where it deserves it. But they have
been talking about Swerve Strickland. You tell me he's doing for 5 years. He's been fighting through it.
He supposedly tore his meniscus at the WWE Performance Center and just worked through it. Thankfully it's a meniscus and not an MCL, PCL, or ACL. So he's been able to work through it, but now he is finally getting it cleaned up. He's probably going to be gone for at least 4 to 6 months.
Sadly. Right. But Will Ospreay was not a surprise.
No, Will Ospreay, that was known. He's not even going to, I doubt he'll be back in time for Wembley for next year, to be honest. I don't think he'll be back for Wembley in 2026. Probably 2027.
If you do that, you throw him in there as either an announcer or you put him out there as a tease, but that's too far out. The fact is, you could have still gotten great entertainment from having the Young Bucks continue on as EVPs if they knew that these two guys were that injured.
What they're doing now is even funnier.
But I want them to have something to do besides being jobbers for another group of people.
What I would say is they actually just within the last couple of weeks started posting short clips to their Being the Elite video YouTube channel. And so one of the last videos was them rewatching the finish of that 10-man tag in their hotel room. And strangely enough, they get a phone call from, of all people, Jack Perry. So I think, you know, that's going to kind of play into the direction that they're going to go. And quite frankly, keep them in the trios division, put Jack Perry alongside of them. That's fine. Have them wrestle in the trios division.
No, wait a minute. You've got Luchasaurus there, and all you have to do is make a quick call to Marco Stunt. He'll be there.
No. Realistically, Luchasaurus is somebody that they could use to, you know, take one of those higher end card spots that's being vacated. I think that one thing that you're going to see, as you know, in the fallout from Forbidden Door, is people are going to have to step up. Also, Tony is going to have to work to build stars, because they're depleted, and they will be depleted. And
they have. A monster faction with the Don Callis family, guys who in any indie promotion would be the champion, and they're just all sitting there. Now you've added Wardlow, and Wardlow is another guy who's going to rot on the vine because nobody knows how to package him. He is forever heavy.
He's always needed a mouthpiece. We've all said that. Every single person here has said that, and hopefully now that he has Don Callis to talk for him, I think that he'll be fine. But I mean, shit, realistically, if they're going to do this, capitalize on him being on a freaking American Gladiators, please. But you know that they won't. You know that Tony won't mention
because the host.
Not even that. No, dude, not even that. It took the Forbidden Door pay-per-view and Konosuke Takeshita's music hitting for them to even mention that he won the G1 Climax.
He won the G1 Climax tournament. He came out in that one. It was great. Do we have any footage?
It fucking blows my mind. No footage.
Don't worry about it. They just yeah, he was there, and I heard he did well. Did he? Oh, he look at that, he won. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, hey, but you know, if they do start to do these right things, awesome. Because like I said, they're going to need to build stars.
But here's the thing, again, this is where they fucked up, because Takeshita was only there to accentuate.
Notice Wardlow. He never shook Wardlow's hand.
Yeah.
He never made contact.
He nodded.
So that tells me that Takeshita will be turning babyface, and right there, you can have Takeshita feud with Don Callis family.
Look, when we talk about Takeshita, when we talk about Killswitch, we've got two people with either limited or no verbal skills to date. So how they do that, and Takeshita walking around like a fucking pirate with MC Hammer pants all the time. He needs to get some outfits going.
Have Takeshita cut pre-taped vignettes with fucking Japanese subtitles.
Betty,
have him be realistically. You could play this to where you make him into an extremely cool character. Genuinely. There is a way that you could do this, and you could have him cut his promos in Japanese, embrace what he can bring to the table, and make it known, hey, I am the greatest wrestler in Japan, because now that he's won the G1 Climax, he can lay claim to that shit. So, there are a lot of things.
Do you give him an Alex Abrahantes?
No.
Matt, what was that? Did he win the G1 Climax? Because... I didn't really get that from.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. Again, that was overshadowed. If you're just watching from AEW, it was overshadowed by Wardlow. You made Wardlow bigger than the guy who won the G1 Climax.
Yep. Yeah. And yet again, at a forbidden door, somebody who is not an AEW contracted person gets the most buzz coming out of the show. And yet again, it's a woman wrestling Mercedes Moné.
Bozilla!
Strange Bozilla! How that fucking works.
That Bozilla, was awesome.
Bozilla had one hell of a show. And yeah, she won, or Mercedes won via yet another small package. But yeah, I mean.
And this person says this Mercedes Moné match is doing her no favors. It's a botched spot fest. That's failing at every opportunity. The real danger of putting four women in a match who have zero chemistry and have never barely worked together. And this Bozilla girl, green as fuck, and should be nowhere near a pay-per-view, just to tick a forbidden door box. She's god-awful.
Who said that?
Someone on the internet.
How we felt her snatch from fucking middle of fucking nowhere. Anyway, that opinion is it's a valid opinion because it's an opinion, but he's wrong. So realistically speaking, so those of us in Vegas that went to the WrestleMania weekend shows, Bozilla was all over those shows. She worked, I believe, 6 or 7 matches that weekend. And, you know, I made comment to, you know, quite a few people that, hey, she's new to the business. And somebody that I was standing next to at one of the shows at that time told me that she was like 21 years old, only been working for 3 years. So for her to be where she is at this point in her career, honestly, is pretty telling. For that person to say that she's green as fuck, I get it. I completely understand. That's not how it came across to me.
No, and she looked like Ring of Honor level quality.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Realistically, she could be signed to, you know, a developmental contract, you know, with WWE tomorrow. If Stardom doesn't, you know, pick her up.
The big question is, did Tony bring her in because he thought that it was Blow Zilla? Hey, speaking of Mercedes Moné, she says she refuses to watch WWE and no longer cares about them anymore. I don't watch them. I don't care about WWE. I'm 8 belts, Moné.
Nine belts.
Well, this is her quote. So at that point, she was eight.
Yeah,
belts.
She was only eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a champion of so many different companies. So the more the merrier. If they want to put on wrestling shows while we have wrestling shows, I'm always going to be better anyway. That's why I call myself the CEO. They keep me on doing whatever they want to do, but AEW is taking over. If you want to watch the best, actually good wrestling, watch AEW. God, I hate this cunt.
Of course you do, because she's not hyping up WWE and how WWE is the best.
No. Of course you hate her. Even if she was, I'd say she's a piece of shit anyway. She's just a horrible human being.
We argued for like an hour last week. I'm just going to sit back and let you two do it this time. I'm going to reserve my energy.
Well done.
No, I mean, it's pretty simple. She's a cunt. Jesus, what else is there to say?
Here's what I had this conversation with Steve before off the show. My attitude is, let's say that AEW is a pro promotion or semi-pro promotion, not necessarily indie. I think we can agree upon that.
Right.
She's walking around with about seven indie belts from promotions I've never heard of, perhaps, or belts that are so inconsequential that I don't care. If you were to give her three belts and you say you have a TBS belt and maybe you have a TNA belt.
Give her the ROH, the championship belt, and the TBS belt, the three top belts of the women's division. There you go. And give her the tag belts when they
Whatever. Great. If you had something more relevant to the company itself, fine. I could get CMLL kind of because you have the
CMLL. Yep. Yeah. But I mean, realistically, that's the thing is she does have that CMLL championship. And that's
fucking deal.
I know. And my God, I was just trying to make a fucking point. I'm just saying, like that's one of those belts. But yeah, nine is excessive.
But if she shows up tomorrow with like the women of wrestling belt, I'm going to be like, really? Did you go to a fucking Love's truck stop that happened to have a backyard ring just to get a belt? I mean, that's the thing.
She's fucking, she's ridiculous. And oh, by the way, she's ripping off the fucking thing that the guy in the company was doing. She's taking it from a guy fucking company.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if we want to, this person did it first. Ultimo Dragon, he kind of set the standard with the J Crown way back in the day with like 13 championships.
What I'm saying though is.
And then Omega. But yeah.
Hold on. This for the people who maybe can't see us. When Sid City Steve's eyes go left and right, that means I've said something inaccurate. When Matt Michael's eyes go straight up to the ceiling, that means a sarcastic comment is 1 second away.
Yeah.
Continue.
She's a cunt.
Here's the thing with her. Right now, she is in the same boat to me as Becky Lynch, where they are being obnoxious. And what they do is their character runs their mouth, and then when they're confronted, they run away. Now, if you do that heel character for a couple of months, and then you have a babyface turn, and you go, well, like John Cena said, man, I lost myself there. You go, okay.
Here's
but
the
she's
problem.
Been doing it for 2 years now. I'm right. tired of seeing that. She doesn't add anything.
Here's the problem with Monet, all right, and the difference between the two. Becky is literally playing her character, right? Monet is this person. She thinks she is better than everyone else. She has a proven track record of doing that.
Here's my question,
That's
though.
The problem with
At
her.
The end of As the day, person, though.
I don't care if she's in the WWE or fucking Dick's fucking backyard fucking, you
right,
know.
Right, here's my thing with her. At the end of the day, somebody has to go, you know what? She's got star power, and I want our belt on her waist. But the problem is when Kenny Omega had the Impact belt, and he had the the AEW belt, and he was carrying all these belts, he went, oh, okay. They reference every time he showed up what each of those belts meant. The They had, if I'm not mistaken, he had three belts back then.
He didn't show up with the fucking Boston Backyard Wrestling Championship. And
that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing. So you're working nine belts.
Medal from the 125 class.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Every time she wins one of those belts, they'll give you a video package of how she get it, but they don't do a video package of the G1 climate, the G1 winner. So the climax winner. So my thing is, all right, she's got nine belts. It's excessive. It doesn't make sense. And it's not putting those other brands over. It's not at all. It's not doing anything for anybody. It doesn't do anything for her. And if you work in that promotion, your belt is gone now. It's not being spoken of. Nothing. So you're watching that. Yeah. You pay your ticket. You go onto your website. You go to YouTube. And now you're going to hear some local announcer go, well, Mercedes Moné has our belt. And if you want to see her, you could see her not defend it on AEW. And that's the thing. It got to a point of stupid. You know, Maxwell Jacob Friedman is going to do CMLL stuff. He'll show up. He'll defend it. He'll put some shine on it a little bit. But this is just excessive. To have her win again by a last-minute surprise roll-up, too, the more you do that, the more you just tarnish the shit out of her, because how long are you going to do this? She's won matches legit. She's won matches with Meteoras. She's done, pile drivers on the ring apron. She's done impressive moves. It's not that the ability isn't there, but they're writing her into these corners where they make her look less and less believable as an athlete. And she's constantly afraid of everybody in the ring. You cannot be afraid of, like, fucking, what is it, Queen Amidala? I don't even remember. I know.
Yeah.
Queen Aminato. All these people that are not doing anything.
She's currently being detained. So let's be careful what we're saying about her so she actually can come back to the States.
Yeah. Well, she had her bag stolen. So, I mean, it's a little bit different.
Oh, well, hold on. Well, the president will get to we'll get to that later.
No, I'm not.
You a second.
It did.
All right. So Jake Hager had further details here about his issues with Tony Khan, who calls an incident during a talent meeting. After all the Punk shit that went down, the boys got together and we had a meeting. This was the boys only, no office. Sting's in there. Show, Jericho, Brian, Mox. They're all standing at the front talking us through this shit. And lo and behold, who comes in the room? Storming in, Daddy's little billionaire. And he's yelling at us because I think it was Dax and Cash. Don't want to come in. They didn't like the storyline, so they refused to come to TV that day. And he was like, listen, I'll put you in a six-man 6 minutes before this show, and you're going to do it. And we're all feeling disrespected. Still, to this day, wish I would have stood up and said a lot of things. You just told Sting that you're going to put him in a six-man in 6 minutes, and then you're going to honor him for his retirement. We became his little playthings. We had to wait outside his office. His storylines were very good at debuting, but he could never carry anything through. It got to the point where you couldn't tell him anything. He couldn't take criticism. He was fucking up, and we were all just having to deal with it. We had blood, sweat, and tears put into this company. We were all there at the beginning. We had our careers behind us that helped build the company. And then we all had to just sit side by side and couldn't do anything because he wanted to run it like the way he wanted to run it. The response from Dax was Cash and I were at the talent only meeting that was called by Brian, Jericho, and Mox. Tony never interrupted. Cash and I have never refused to show up to work. And I dare say, if you look at our schedules since Collision started, we are the most consistent talent that make both shows every week. Not really sure where all this is coming from, but it's mostly not true.
Wow. Wait a minute, from the two guys, one who had a gun charge and an assault, and they had to make something disappear right there.
Hey, I mean, you guys out in Dade County like a bag of snow? It never snows here.
Realistically, I mean, it is interesting to hear both sides of that. So, I mean, you just have to wonder who is lying. You know, it, at the end of the day, realistically, do you look at what Jake Hager said as sour grapes because his contract has not been renewed? And quite frankly, he has not gone back to WWE. He's not working anywhere in the pro wrestling world, as far as I can tell.
UFC? Is he doing any UFC?
I don't believe he's even doing Bellator stuff. Which
didn't you say he was a truck driver now or something?
Starting a trucking company is what was said. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Like, it realistically, you know, and obviously, I'm not saying 100%. Oh, it's sour grapes. Fuck him. I don't know what happened. The best part is none of us do. So we have to sit here and we have to piece things together. You know, you've got one person saying one thing. You've got someone saying the complete opposite. And really, it's a he said kind of a thing. Who do you believe in this instance especially?
They turned the Jericho Appreciation Society into like a K-pop boy band. They came out and they said, how should we look? And Jericho came up with the idea that they all wear white. They look like New Kids on the Block doing a reunion tour. And now the only guys who survived all of that was Daniel Garcia. And
Eddie. Barely.
Yeah. I said, you know, yeah. And then the other one's doing freaking announcing work.
Barely.
Yeah. And only when Garcia's up. And only when Garcia's up.
No one from the JAS has done well. Like, if you look at it, that was not a good faction in terms of getting other people over.
And then Les Sex Gods, you know, you got the other dude there. Jericho's gone, and
Sammy Guevara
is, even when he does show up, and he can wrestle.
He can
wrestle really fucking well. He's never over. And by the way, not the worst guy in the mic. There have been worse.
He does a lot of shouty promos. That's my problem with him.
But he was smart when they were doing. He would come up with the signs when they were doing the.
Dude, that was great. That was great. I don't know why. Like, obviously, everything, the nature of the business, got away from picture in picture. But I mean, they could have done a lot more with that shit.
He had time every
single week.
He's got Ty Mello, which is, you could not ask for a better wife to have. There's so much you could do with that. And they're just, I that one I don't get. That one I do not get at all. Why that guy is, you know, rotting on Rod of Honor.
Yeah. He's a fucking tag team champion.
I would love to see him in NXT. I think he could do well there. Or TNA.
Last time I heard, I mean, he's cool with, you know, all of the people that have left AEW and gone to, you know, one of the TKO brands. So, yeah.
I mean, and it's not like they're not traveling. I would like to see him in an NXT role. If he went over there, I would be really interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how well Ricky Saints is doing, because he's the last one I can think of. Him and Blake Monroe are the last ones that I can think of that left AEW for NXT. And I know she's doing fairly well right now, so he's been quiet by comparison.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of leaving that company, how about this guy here, this Cody Rhodes guy? He's done all right. And in regards to the launch of AEW, Twitter user Joe Gilbert 1992 wrote that people severely underestimate the importance of Cody Rhodes getting AEW started. Rhodes issued a follow response. Facts are all out there to see. Without Brandy or I, it wouldn't exist. Look no further than some of the infrastructure in place, or even half the names of the events. Tony, Bucks, Kenny, Jericho, Dana, Hang, Pioneers. I've moved on to the next stage for me, but beautiful memories. So, it, you know, it's just kind of nice that he keeps it classy. Yeah. And that really is, you know, something that I think Cody does better than almost anyone, man.
I agree with that. And, you know, you can definitely tell that he wants everything out there, but he doesn't want to say it. He right. wants other people to say it so that that way it doesn't come across as, you know, sour grapes or, oh, well, you know, I left because of this, this, and this. So it somebody got to write a book sometime, you know.
I never once did Tony Khan come into my mind in the first year of that company.
No, it was all Cody, man. He was
the face of it.
He was the face of the company. He was the face of
it. And when they cut promos and he came out and everyone circled around him, I went, fuck yeah. That it never was better than those days. I went, okay, this guy left WWE, went on to TNA, went on to New Japan Pro Wrestling, shows up here, looks amazing. He looks more like his dad than he ever. He's got the blonde hair. I don't know if he had that in NJPW. He didn't in TNA. That all in match.
No. He had the brown hair still. I don't think he dyed it platinum until they started AEW, I believe, right?
He went blonde when he was a babyface. When he had the dark hair, he was a heel.
He was a heel.
He was the American Nightmare. That's when he had the American Nightmare on his chest. He was feuding with my God, how many years ago it has passed when he was feuding with Moose, and Moose was the babyface for trying to look after Brandy. That was the gimmick, that he was looking after Brandy and trying to keep her safe. Yep. And, you know, and now so much time has passed. Cody's I don't even want to get into the rut that Cody's in right now. Hopefully, this time away, he's going to have an interesting, fiery return when he gets his revenge on Drew McIntyre. But to be, you know, he's cardboard cut out of himself. But when back then, when he was doing these amazing rah-rah promos for AEW and all of the talent was surrounding him in the ring, it was like seeing this guy on the mountain bringing down the Ten Commandments. It was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, he was that guy.
But
he had all of the aura. Like, he was the guy. And, you know, I still think that he has the potential to be the guy. Clearly, he was the standard bearer in the biggest pro wrestling company in the world for months. So, I you know, if you look at it, they have never done as much business. And I say they, meaning WWE. They're doing the best business that they have ever done. And realistically speaking, he is not too far removed from holding that championship. So it could easily be said that he was the quarterback of the team when they were the most successful they have ever been. So I don't think that that's left him. I think that when he comes, you know, when he gets it into high gear again, he's going to be. Yeah, I think he's going to be great.
When we started seeing Tony Khan with Shivani over at TNA, I'm like, all right, that was cool. That was interesting, but it's missing that energy. Yep. It looks like it came off as a leader, and now it just looks like Richie Rich, and he's boring, but he's got money, and he's being obnoxious. And that felt like a short-term gimmick. It was definitely no Vince McMahon character. It was no Mr. McMahon character. That's the problem with Tony Khan is he's not a Mr. McMahon character. He does not command attention. He is, and he at least knows that enough.
Like a Mr. McMahon character.
He commands attention. He doesn't command respect. And when I say respect, I mean
No.
Having a shred of gravitas.
I'm talking
realistically.
About
I don't care what anyone says. No one, finger quotes, respects Tony Khan. In terms of his stature, in terms of aura that he has.
That's also seen in the fact that he doesn't put himself out there on the camera like a Mr. McMahon would.
He's turned into Vince McMahon behind the scenes.
Sure.
Very sadly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But as far as even Dixie Carter had more of a presence on screen than him. And that's sad. That she had better acting capability than, and they threw her ass through a table finally to take her off TV. But Scott D'Amore, another example.
Yeah.
Scott D'Amore was great on camera. Scott D'Amore got in the ring. Scott D'Amore chopped it up with the people. Good. Hell, even Linda McMahon, better presence. So that's the one thing that AEW tried to do with the EVP gimmick is we want to grab that energy back again, but there is not that one person. The only person in the company who could possibly take the reins in such a figurehead type way would be Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega could do it if they wanted, because remember, Kenny Omega is technically still an EVP. He never put anything on the line. If they wanted to write that story that Kenny Omega is going to be calling the matches and make him the face of the company, put him in a three-piece suit every week, I could get behind that. That is still an option available to them.
Okay. All right. We can do that, I guess.
Hey, you didn't tell me to fuck off. I'll take it.
Yeah,
no shit. He didn't tell me to go fuck off. I mean,
There it is.
We gotta take this moment right now to go ahead and take a little break for
Jesus Christ, that fucking
nice cold real American beer. Real American, say your prayers, take your vitamins, do your training, and drink your
piss
real
water.
American beer.
You're drinking. You know that must be. Yeah, that must be like you ever see the Simpsons and the Family Guy crossover where they find out that Pawtucket Pat is just rebranded Duff Beer. I guarantee that is Keystone Light under there.
Yeah, well, this week apparently it came out that they were hemorrhaging money recently, so makes a lot of sense. There we go with look at that high school photo of Mr. Bollea there and him with his Hulk Hogan action figure. And speaking of the Simpsons, Rob, there's the NWO Doe.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But the biggest thing that came out this week is TMZ Sports reported Hulk Hogan might have died due to medical malpractice. So looks like there is going to be a lot of different things, coming out within the next year that we'll see what happens. But in the meantime,
to be the man, you've got to botch the man in the operating room.
Well, you know how you stay out of the operating room? By drinking real American beer.
Yeah.
And you know, it's true to form and it's completely on brand for Hogan because he didn't even want to put death over, obviously, as we're seeing with this possible malpractice shit.
Yep. And you know, if you don't want to put death over and you want to avoid it at all costs,
you gotta drink real
American beer.
The Tarot Destroyer says, my boyfriend's testicles were bitten off by a camel recently. Should I marry him when he wakes up from his coma or marry his identical twin brother whose testicles are in pretty good shape?
You know what I would do if I were you, Turret Destroyer? I would go ahead and just crack open a cold, real American beer. That solves all life's problems. Real American beer. Say your
or why don't you just take your testicles off the guy who was an asshole and put them on the guy who doesn't have them? Or he could donate a testicle. Then they each have one nut, and then they can double team you, take you to Paris.
Oh boy. Well, if anything, you know, Rob, you're nuts. So speaking of nuts, it was nuts this past weekend on NXT. Oh man, the show they had there with the ending where Obafemi had a great match with Javon Evans, retains his title, and then Ricky Saints comes out. Ricky Saints, the guy who AEW fans online, you know, the trolls, Oh, but he wishes he was in AEW still because he's never used. Blah, 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 blah.
If you're not going to be used on a brand, you might as well pick WWE to not be used on. And now they're going to use him. So,
basically.
Yeah. Well, he's been 2-time North American champion. Yeah, it's shut the fuck up. Finally, Dana Brooke gets her fucking TNA title. You know, it's taken her forever to get to this point. Who'd ever thought that Dana Brooke would, you know.
Excuse me. It's Ash by Elegance.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of Ass by Elegance.
I don't know what by Elegance even. Well, I never knew what that means. All I could tell was they wanted to do their version of the Timeless Toni Storm, and they couldn't figure out.
Yeah. Dark State became the tag champs. Lola Vice, hello. Mm. Number one contender for the women's title. And, man, this Canadian connection here between Ethan Page and Kelsey. Oh, my God. Chelsea Green is just amazing.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, yeah. I know you were looking at Ethan's body, man. Look at that. It's amazing.
No, I'm just looking at her reflection off his belt. Isn't she married to Matt Cardona?
She is. She is. And we'll play this clip for Matt at some point. Of you talking about how you wanted to sexually assault his wife.
Dude, anyone should want to bang the bejesus out of her. Matt, you should be railing the shit out of her every goddamn day. And I hope you are.
Matt Cardona is one of the luckiest men on the planet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That goes without saying.
So. Oh, my God. Just fucking A. Just slaughter that. Just absolutely destroy that.
Speaking of destroying that, WrestlePalooza is happening on September 20th. It is official now. ESPN is going to be showing it. Now, this is what you get with your ESPN subscription. The main channel, ABC, specifically any ESPN sports production airing on the flagship broadcaster, ESPN 2, 3, plus U, ESPN News, ESPN Deportes, SEC Network, SEC Network Plus, ACC Network, ACCNX, digital only. So you get all that stuff and all the catalog of things that they have. If you're a football fan, and it looks like ESPN might be making a play for the Major League Baseball Network as well. So they're putting all into this shit. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna pay $30 for your pay-per-view. Shut the fuck up, man up, fucking grow up.
Well, they were on life support ESPN, so now they're probably taking what they got left, and they said, fine, fuck it, we'll go into the future, kicking and screaming, but we're gonna do it.
They literally went all in. They pushed all their chips into the center of the table. Yeah, this is their effort to just say, you know what. Fuck it, because Rob, you hit the nail on the head. They haven't been doing the best, and Michaels, you summed it up perfectly.
And really quick, WWE and Peacock announced the multi-year partnership, exclusively stream Saturday night's main event on Peacock. It'll be no longer airing on NBC. The final two Saturday night main events have been announced for this year, November 1st. And Cena's retirement match on December 13th. It will continue to air in primetime 4 times each year. The network library remains on Peacock through the end of the year. The PLEs for NXT remain on Peacock until March 2026. And nothing changes regarding SmackDown. It remains on USA Network and a 30-day delay on Peacock. So that's what's going on with that. And then you get this kind of stuff. Ricky MC, whoever this guy is, said, now I understand why WWE all of a sudden wants to buy all the indie promotions to prevent them from partnering with AEW ROH. And Winnie the Pooh says, well, there it is. The dumbest fucking thing I've read all day. Jesus Christ. You fucking internet marks are horrible, horrible, awful people. Just like the people of Birmingham, in the UK. Becky Lynch. Apparently, Kelly Osbourne took offense at...
Didn't even tag the right Becky Lynch either.
Right.
She tagged a fucking fan account.
Right.
Just noticed that .fan11.
And she called Becky a disrespectful dirtbag. Birmingham will not piss on you if you are on fire. Birmingham forever. Shame on the WWE for allowing such things to be said about my father and his home, in which she said that he was the only good thing to ever come from Birmingham. So, and again, for all you stupid internet marks, that's Birmingham in the UK, not Alabama.
Alabama.
So,
wait a minute now. Kelly's not from Alabama. She's English. She's from England. They fucked it up. Real simple. Now Triple H has to get on the phone and get Kelly Osbourne to back whoever's going to be wrestling against Becky Lynch.
Well, back Kelly Osbourne needs to be wrestling Becky Lynch.
Jeez.
Come on, man. If Jelly Roll can do it, Kelly can do it. Hey, speaking of wrestling, you know, Karrion Kross said he still hasn't got a call from AEW. Tony Khan, you know, made a statement regarding this, saying only the best wrestle here. Tony said, this is where the best wrestler, AEW has the best wrestlers in the world, and we want to keep it that way. It's a very high bar to reach this roster, and we want to maintain the quality. Go fuck yourself, Tony. And by the way, look who showed up in GCW to help Shotzi against Mr. Chelsea Green.
Yep, exactly.
So apparently,
I'm still not.
No, wait a minute.
I'm still not believing. I'm still not believing that it's a shoot. It's still a work, brother. Until he walks through the curtain at AEW or New Japan, which we know he's not going to go to AEW for reasons. But yeah, until one of those things happen, it's not going to allow myself. Yeah, it's a work.
Yeah. Okay. So the biggest news story in the last 48 hours comes with Rampage Jackson's son attacking the pro wrestler. Let's first read here. Rampage Jackson did put out a statement. I want to clear up the misinformation about my son Raja. I've been confirmed that the wrestler is awake and stable. Raja was unexpectedly hit in the side of the head by him moments before Smith's match. Raja was told that he could get his payback in the ring. I thought it was part of the show. It was bad judgment and work that went wrong. Knox Pro Wrestling on Psycho Stew said what was supposed to be a planned and agreed upon wrestling spot turned into a selfish, irresponsible act of violence against Mr. Smith. The egregious act is reprehensible and never should have occurred. We apologize to our patrons and fans. And that was said by Rikishi. The WWID has cut ties with Rikishi's Knox Pro Wrestling after the incident. Mr. Beast has generously donated to the GoFundMe that was started. Stu Smith's GoFundMe right now at this time that we got this was reached about $67,000 with over 2,100 donations. Mr. Beast actually put in $10,000.
Yeah.
Jericho put in $2,500. Jack Perry's on there at 1,000. So Miro said, I've known and trained with Stu for 15 years. He's a former U.S. Army veteran, an amazing guy. There are no excuses for what happened in the ring. Praying for a strong kick out. This was the take by Calder McCall. Normally, I wouldn't comment on these things, but as someone who was actively involved in MMA and professional wrestling, I feel need to highlight some of the things about the Knox Pro incident that's going viral. First, weird take being spread. He deserved it for hitting him with a can. It doesn't really take a skilled eye to see that not only was the can hauled out, Stu threw the can like you would throw a working punch. You can tell that Ezra barely moved when it hit him. Referee Nick Gallo, you literally watched someone you've known for over a decade get pummeled, did nothing, and proceeded to count the three on an unconscious man. You need to never recommend, as workers are clearly not safe with you as a third man. To the wrestlers in the mats, just watch your fellow worker get severely beaten, did nothing about it, then pinned him. You're all an embarrassment to the job. To the agents, bookers, y'all didn't smarten up a pro fighter. As a result of your negligence, one of your longtime wrestlers ended up in the ICU, and that receipt was what you had in mind. Top to bottom, this whole situation is shitty. And then Mark Henry blames Stu by saying, you've got to be careful, one, with who you're messing with, and two, what kind of example you are as a veteran. If indeed what I saw, what I saw, which is people before the show during the daytime drinking, and you break a bottle over a guy's head and talk trash like that guy is not going to do nothing. Yeah, you are at fault. That's via TMZ Sports. Obviously, Mark Henry apparently didn't watch the video because there was no bottle. As Calder said, it was a can and it was thrown as a punch, a working punch.
Somebody told him the meat and potatoes of it, and he just responded. But he should have done his homework, because that makes it look really bad.
Of course.
So the worst part about this is, so if you watch the footage, which unless it's been removed, is still all out there for public consumption. So realistically, this makes Raja look terrible, because you see what went down with the can shot. Obviously, you have people intervening. You know, essentially what happened was Psycho Stu saw Raja Jackson with the camera filming, and with his size, Stu incorrectly thought that he was a worker and thought that he was part of the show. So that's why he even, you know, proposed the spot and did the spot to him. Realistically speaking, what happened from there, it very simple. You could see in the footage that Raja Jackson was just getting pissed off more and more by the second. He also was live streaming for the following 2 hours that the show was going on. He actually went into a backstage area and was told that he would be able to get his heat back or get his payback or whatever terminology was used. I don't forget. Right. I don't remember at the moment, but that he would be able to get his receipt. That was the terminology. Right. That he would be able to get a receipt. And it's terrible because, again, no one told him what the receipt consisted of. So literally you do have he's a professional fighter. Yes, he's 0-1, but he's still a professional fighter and labels himself as a professional fighter. So you've got a lot of combustible elements in this. The thing that stands out is, and Scoop mentioned it right here in the YouTube chat, his chat literally amped him up and got him more and more fired up and pissed off, so that, you know, essentially, after the comment about him being able to get his receipt, they shake hands. Everything's fine. And then he gets his receipt and then some. All that I can say is thank God for the Epic, who was the wrestler and cross-trained in MMA, who is working for Knox Pro, was there and pulled Raja off and got decked in his face for his trouble. He then headbutted Raja. But if the Epic wasn't there, the people that were a part of the show, the referee in the fucking match, didn't help out one of their brothers. That's what did not happen at the end of the day. They did not keep him safe. And no one stood up to Raja Jackson.
Who was the gentleman with the pink hair, the wrestler with the pink dreadlocks?
Yeah, that was the Epic.
Yeah, the Epic. But he didn't, you could see he was confused, Because right after the first three punches,
they weren't told anything. He wasn't told what was going to happen. He was just told that he had to be out there. He wasn't told, hey, you're going to have to defuse this situation.
Right. And I'm watching that, and he goes, oh, shit, after nine punches have been thrown. But dude, the damage was up by that point.
He was out after the fucking double leg and slam. He was out after the takedown. And then just 21 fucking punches. 21 punches. That's fucking attempted murder. I don't care who the fuck you are.
Because if they don't stop him, he's going to kill the guy.
It will. Well, so unfortunately, Stu was choking on his blood and his teeth that were knocked out. He was laying there on the verge of death, choking on blood and teeth. And what fucking happens? His opponent in the match covers him and the ref counts the pinfall. Fuck you. Fuck you for that.
Now, as Rikishi, this is from a business standpoint, you got to fire the ref. You've got to fire the guy who covered him. You've got to
drop a lot of people. No, Rob, you got to close down the promotion. Period.
That bad?
Yeah. Absolutely. Because if I'm a worker, I'm never sure that it's a safe environment from this point on. Ever.
I agree with that statement.
I would never work it. And I don't care how reputable Rikishi is as a wrestler, a Hall of Famer, the school is for having people train. If that would have happened at UPW, my God, Raja would have been killed. He would have been killed. It would have been horrible for him.
Yeah, it would not have been good. It would not have been good.
If it was a student that messed up, was not being safe with another student, you used to get punished, right? This is how things worked. The mindset that everyone has today is not of taking care of each other and taking care of business. No, it's putting shit on the internet and getting recognition and getting going hits. Viral. Yeah, and going viral. It's absolute bullshit. Like I said, I think the whole promotion needs to be just shut down. Have no association with it and sell it off if anything. But the honest answer is this is first Raja needs to go in front of a judge. And
yes,
this video is out there. It's just like watching something happen at one of the casinos, right? It's on tape.
Rikishi, who presses charges besides Stu?
Nobody. It's Stu. Stu is the one who was assaulted and nearly killed. Rikishi is lucky if he doesn't go to jail. You incited a riot.
Yeah.
You purposely said to this man, go get your payback. You instructed him. And that's his defense, by the way. Raja's defense
he said that Rikishi specifically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if I'm his lawyer, that's the first thing I'm saying. Well, this guy is innocent because he was told to go in the ring and do this.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Here's my problem with that. You're trying to tell me that nobody alive knows that wrestling is a work, that you're not going to deliberately kill a guy?
I'm sorry. This man was told by the owner of the promotion, when this happens, you go in there and you get a receipt. That's it.
Who has ever killed another person in a pro wrestling ring?
Who has ever allowed someone to go in the ring without teaching them and telling them how to fucking work? That's the problem.
There you go.
Yep.
That's what I was trying to get at is how you approach the opposite of the argument.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's it. It doesn't take a genius to figure out how to defend this, because that's what I'm saying. If Raja is being put up, for jail time for this, then defense has to go after Rikishi and anyone associated in Knox with this. So,
Scoop put a great message in the chat, I think. Yeah,
AJ Mono was the guy that gave him the instruction. We can forget his ties to Rampage and MMA and his open disdain for Stu. Again, this is all part of, you know, when you're looking at things that point to him being innocent in terms of how this was delegated. This is who Stu needs to go after.
Yeah.
Is, you know, Raja press charges, Mana and Rikishi, and anyone else, you know, who was behind this being. And I don't even know, you know, again, this, from what I heard too, it was Mana who was behind the whole angle of it. Did Rikishi have any knowledge? Most likely, I'm going to say no. Because
I would hope not.
Yeah.
I would hope not.
And to be honest, I don't know how hands-on he really is in terms of when it comes to their shows. So that's the thing. But as a company, it's reflective on you. And now going after the company, that's how he gets involved. So, it's an ugly thing. And, again, promoters, don't let this fucking happen again. Do not use fucking name people who you think will get you attention, especially if they have no fucking clue what they're doing. So, pretty simple.
Yeah, we always hear that about WWE. These celebrities go in and they go to the performance center and they're knocking it out for a month plus just to do,
And doesn't make, apparently the group chat.
That's not good at all.
After the event, and doesn't make Knox look good. No. Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, no. This is not how things are run. Reputable promotions, especially if you have an associate. That's why WWE dropped it right away. It's like you can't fucking.
That's toxic. You can't. You don't
want to. You can't go back.
No. Nope. All right, speaking of can't go back. All right, we can go back to last week, and Steve's prediction was right.
I think I'm having a problem with my screen. Hold on.
You know, they didn't mention the Forbidden Door shit. They did not mention the G1 Climax win for Takeshita until the fucking pay-per-view. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I even gave them a little bit, like I gave 1.5 times, you know, so that they could mention it in passing once and they would, you know, they'd still be okay. But no, didn't mention it at all. Anyway, I evidently have a pretty good penchant for being able to pick people that will win championships in that company. So because I did call Kyle Fletcher winning the TNT championship, 8 months before it happened, I said that he would be a champion in AEW in 2025. And sure as shit, he is your TNT champion. And here's where we're going to say this.
If your prediction is Monet wins a belt in 2025, then you've got a lock, a sure lock that she wins one more belt.
Bro, that is the stone cold lock of the motherfucking week. realistically, though, for all my Aqua Teen fans, you know where that comes from. Anyway, staying with the women, though. I think that by the end of 2025, we will have AEW gold on Athena at some point this year. And if we do not, there is a serious issue. Athena and Toni Storm went out and had a very, very good match that I deliberately did not talk about during our Forbidden Door recap because I wanted to give it the shine in this segment specifically. Toni Storm, obviously, she came out with the face paint on. She looked great. Athena came out looking like a badass. Both women beat the hell out of each other. And, dude, a real significant argument could have been made for putting the title at that moment on Athena. But if she does not win AEW Women's Gold, be it the TBS title and take it off of Monet, or the Women's World Championship and take it off of Toni Storm, there is a serious, serious problem.
Yeah, it's called Monet.
I like the idea of getting it off Monet. That would be good, and that gives her win in.
And also, it allows Athena to get her win back.
And you have somebody obnoxious, but in an entertaining way. Yeah. That would be really good.
Billy Starks is awesome, too.
Yes.
She's hilarious. Anyway.
Rob, did you just say you'd like to see them get Athena off?
Yeah, why not?
Get off Monet. That's what you said. Yeah, you'd like to see
I mean, that too.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
All right, Mr.
My first thing, a disclaimer, the wig was buried somewhere behind a car seat, and I just said, fuck it. I wasn't going to make it. I found the Cat Williams wig, though, so... But you know,
give it a few years and you'll be able to actually bust out President the Cat Williams the during that segment. Exactly. Yeah.
But we had a really, really disgusting display take place this weekend at some low class indie promotion where we saw Killer Cross beat the shit out of Mid Cardona. Oh, we don't like Mid Cardona. And we say this because, Chelsea, you could be the governor of the 51st state, Canada, and we will show you freedom at, quite honestly, at levels like never before seen. I'm already a WWE Hall of Famer, okay? The greatest Hall of Famer. Quite honestly, people have said the greatest WWE Hall of Famer of all time, and I would like to take you to my private training ring dojo facility, and I can teach you the Bucking Bronco. We're going to teach you my favorite move, the Bucking Bronco. That's where you're going to ride your president for billions and billions and billions of times. It's going to be quite the experience. It again at a level like no one's ever seen before. Okay. And we've made cities great again. I made Washington, D.C. I turned Washington, D.C. from a shithole. The bodies were dropping like flies, and I made it so great. Chelsea Green, we can make your pussy great again.
Oh boy. Oh,
thank boy. You. And God bless.
It's times like this, it calls for drinking something that's refreshing and dripping wet, a real American beer.
I was drinking something refreshing and dripping wet this weekend, and she came from Slovakistan. But now we could have a Canadian Mrs. Trump, all right? And you would still be an American. That's the beauty of this. You'd still be an American, and you would still be Canadian. We can make Canada the 51st state. That would be beautiful. I think that'd be great. It'd be tremendous. It would be tremendous.
All right, time to take a social media dump. Hey, let's start with a happy birthday, the 80th, to Vince McMahon. Apparently, some of the people who were at his birthday party, The Undertaker, Michelle McCool, Kane, John Cena, Shane McMahon, JBL, Gerald Briscoe, Bruce Pritchard, Sergeant Slaughter, R-Truth, and Sheamus.
That's so, it?
There you go. Well, those are the ones they listed. And I don't know. I didn't get my invite.
Who's the chick in the middle?
Your invite got lost in the mail.
Who's the chick in the middle?
Yeah, why am I not? Why do I not know her?
I don't know. I can't tell.
Not in fairness, I mean, he fucking looks good for his age. I don't know. Maybe he could do one more match with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, I think this is an old picture there, buddy. To be honest.
Ouch, then. Never mind.
This was kind of cool. The Coexist logo using the logos of the wrestling companies. This person posted the 10 biggest wrestling promotions in order, WWE, AEW, CMLL, NJPW, AAA, NOAA, TNA, MLW, Stardom, GCW. Notice the one that's not on there, NWA.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very interesting. Hey, Rotten Todd Flander.
Christian as frick. That, yeah.
Anna Jay broke her silence after breaking up with wrestling superstar Jungle Boy Jack Perry. The worst part about this thing is calling Jungle Boy Jack Perry a superstar. Yeah. And speaking of AEW, there is Cody Rhodes going into surgery in the year 2046. And don't miss out on your chance for the All Elite Feast, sliders, pickles, merch, and more to your home. But you got to move fast as supplies last at houseofcrave.com. And that, too, will put you in the hospital.
Rob, did you pick up yours?
No, I'm not going to pay double what a fucking – they literally charged double. And all of the White Castle sliders since the pandemic are doubled in price. So you're paying four times the amount, and you might get some cardboard box that's going to rot in your attic.
But you get two AEW surprise souvenirs, man.
And here was the other thing that pissed me off when I heard. You're trying to tell me that this isn't like I go to a – if you told me you go to a White Castle – and I get shit-faced after a comedy show. Maybe I get drunk. Maybe I get high. Something's happening. You might have had me. You might have loosened 50 bucks out of my wallet. I got to put these in the toaster oven myself? Where the fuck do you get off? You should have had this at the White Castle on Las Vegas Boulevard by the Casino Royale Hotel in between the Venetian and whatever the fuck that is, that little Ferris wheel bullshit, then you would have had my money. You should have treated this like the ultimate Happy Meal. Then you would have had my money. You're going to mail me a box of crusty-ass fucking burgers I got to nuke myself? Where the fuck do you get off with the fucking balls on these people?
Yeah, I think the worst part about this is you said you'd put them in the toaster oven. That just sounds fucking god-awful.
Well, no, actually, the way you make those things is you're supposed to put water in a pan, put them in the toaster oven, and then they're supposed to steam that way.
Oh, fuck that. You just microwave them. It fucking doesn't make sense anyway. Speaking of things that make you hope for a better thing. Christy Hemme, they're in danger of potentially losing their house to a fire up in Oregon. So she has been asking for thoughts and prayers. So hopefully that does not happen. Matt and Jeff Hardy threw out first pitch at the Twins game. So making their rounds, apparently, the Hardy Boys are going to be.
By the way, those tag belts look sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, pretty sweet there, Rob. Speaking of looking sick, Thea Hale, man, she got her face banged up pretty freaking bad over the last couple years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, man. So hopefully everything's good and she's okay. Peacemaker debuted this week with a very let's just say don't let the kids watch the first scene of Peacemaker, because there's a lot of peace being seen in it. And Rob, you might like that. Yeah. And speaking of John Cena, a heroic make-a-wish kid blindsided Cena with a chair shot. So please keep Cena.
Consider what happened this weekend. We don't need a kid blindsiding a wrestler.
Well, the kid probably knows how to fucking work better than fucking Raja. So, hey, remember that classic episode of The Golden Girls?
Ooh, Rose. I'm the cream of the crop.
Who can forget Indiana Jones and the Legion of Doom? They live in a van down by the river. Another great movie. And, of course, Sly Stone, Steve Austin. Every time you drink a White Claw, just know that Steve Austin is disappointed in you.
Agreed.
In another timeline, this is the head of the table.
What the fuck?
What does everybody want?
Head!
Really?
Oh, no. Ah. Oh. What the hell?
That's what you call a gimmick in wrestling, Rob.
I don't even know what I'm watching there. I'm trying to.
It's Shawn Michaels.
I thought that was actually fucking Christian.
No, Shawn reason. Michaels. He's showing you the Heartbreak Kid there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. It's, very good.
We're the only show that goes from eating balls to eating ass.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Look at the hair on that crack. Jesus Christ.
Fucking yeah, James. I know. And the hair on the ass is pretty bad, too.
Oh, man.
When she asks for something big and hard, so you whip out your vintage Andre the Giant figure from the 80s. There you go. Damn. All right. Last rights, Rob.
All right. This weekend going to be in Pahrump. So 8 o'clock, the Vince Neil bar over there, Westside Tattooado. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a Four Horsemen production. Lex Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken, should be hosting. But you might actually get to see Storm and Rob as well. Thought I saw him on the poster. Maybe I'm mistaken, but... Yeah, that's the first thing coming up. Then we got a couple of spots out in September to be announced on the venues on that one.
Nice. Very nice, bro.
And tomorrow. Don't forget tomorrow, Wednesday night at Ola Abibi in the Arts District on Casino Center Drive right off Charleston.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive that there's a club named after the NXT champion. Well played. All right, Steve, what do you have to say?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Oh, yes. Well, it finally comes to an end as we say goodbye. One of the things that Vegas is known for is the rodeo every December.
Oh, no.
And I think that one man this year is going to be especially prepared for this year's rodeo.
PJ Impact, straw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on, I'ma tie it with a noose, cause I love you to death, girl, you got me on you. Yeah, these girls do the most, like every time I talk, they don't like what I post. I went down to Texas to perform a couple shows, cause they love the way I move and they love the way I roll. Big pimping on the flight to New York, no I'm not from Texas, but I'm on the dance floor. Do-si-do with a blonde little bang, I just might give her a ring and I just wanna hear her say. DJ Impact, raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my...
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Mad mic
Michaels leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.